You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is NRL Boom Rookies.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Boom Rookies presented by ESPN. I am Matt Bungard coming at you live from Las Vegas, day two. And with me, AAP Scott Bailey. Welcome.
Vegas, baby. How are you, Matty?
Mate, I'm good. You did kind of feature yesterday a little bit in episode one. Some great questions from you. Really got the punters talking about the imminent American expansion of rugby league.
What a great story that is for a few days until, let's be honest, everyone forgets about it. But it's a good story for a few days. And hey, if it ever did happen, it would be really great for the game.
Of course. It is interesting. Like, it was kind of representative in what James Tedesco said in regards to the fact that he didn't even know there was a rugby union competition here. As to sort of the difference between our perception of the sport and its ease of access to this market and just how hard that might prove to be going forward.
Mate, it's funny, isn't it? Because, like, I don't know about you, but since I got in on Tuesday, every time you say, like, even customs, it was like, oh, what are you here for? Oh, to go to the rugby league. Oh, the rugby. How good are the All Blacks? They're good, aren't they? You're like, kind of, but no, it's different. And then you try and sort of explain it. And I've worked out the best way to explain it is, it's like you have six downs to get a touchdown and you pass the ball backwards. And obviously, there's a lot of other differences, but that's the most, you know, if you get that, it's sort of okay from there. But, like, it's just so foreign for us because we're so used to, like, anyone we talk to, if they like footy, they don't like footy, they know what footy is, right? There's no one in Australia who, even, like, people from Adelaide know what our sport is.
Oh, is there a sports ball on this evening? I was too busy listening to the opera on my radio.
Even those people know what it is. They just hate it.
That's true. Yeah, mate, it's funny. I think I've made this point before on the show. I kind of said it yesterday to Tedesco. I was like, I think we should just lean into it. We should just don't correct them. Just call it rugby.
I think the great point that a few people are making is that we shouldn't be marketing necessarily as rugby league. Let's market as the NRL. Like, and I know that's not necessarily great for the English game, and there's a whole, you know, it's another discussion. But, you know, when people talk about gridiron in Australia, they don't say, oh, did you watch the gridiron yesterday? They said, did you watch the NFL?
Well, mate, right? Even like the AFL is arguably the most popular sporting league in Australia. I think even we can admit that it's either one or two with the NRL.
I mean, I'd still argue cricket's number one, but anyway.
Oh, sorry, not like a competition, yeah, though. Yeah. Like, I don't think the Marsh Cup's knocking on the door.
No, that's a good point. Yeah,
of those two, but like, no one ever says Aussie rules, do they? Except for that one loser on Twitter that has that AFL account.
And except
AFL
my boss, who will often be like, and he's not a loser. I want to make clear that he's a great man who got me to Vegas. But but no, he always makes the point that, like, unless they, you know, the sport is Aussie rules, the league is the AFL.
Yeah.
Much like the sport is rugby league, the league is the NRL. But I think in this circumstance, you know, like, we should be marketing it
right,
as the NRL.
Because it is true. Like, you just say, play AFL at home. No one corrects you.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, even
right.
Their fans know better than to be like, oh, actually, it's called Australian rules.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They don't. And I think maybe we need to get to that point with just the word rugby as well. But you nailed it there. I think that that's probably a little shortcut we take, is just say NRL.
I'll tell you, so the other day I was talking to Drew Slover, who is the chair, he's in charge of USARL. And it's funny, actually, chatting for an hour or two, and I said, oh, conversation open. I said, oh, mate, how do you reckon it's going to go over there? This is when I was back home. And he said to me, he goes, Scott, one of several problems, but the first problem we've got is the name of our sport is stupid. And I was like, why? Like, because it's different sport. And he was like, it's dumb. He's like, what's a league? A league is a competition. So when you say to people who don't know what the sport is, you know, rugby league, they go, oh, it's a rugby competition.
Yes, they do.
And like, you know what? Like, actually, like, you know, that is literally what it is. It is,
yeah.
Rugby league says rugby competition, and to try and say to someone, no, that's it's rugby league, but it's not a rugby league, is, you know, it just sounds stupid, right? So yeah, I think you're right. Like, we do kind of need to move past it, but at the same time, market it as the NRL. It's a slightly different game. You know, it's probably more comparable to the NFL or to
I think that's our biggest point, right? You mentioned that before with the Downs. It's the same thing. Like, rugby league is a lot more similar
yeah,
to their
like,
sport.
I was on a bus yesterday and there was a few Aussies on it and we were chatting. And then, you know, they got off and the guy behind me was like, oh, I had no idea what you guys were talking about until... And I think I was having the same conversation to them, saying we should describe it as... We should, you know, market it as like, you know, down
equivalent. Yeah.
And he was like, then I kind of, I figured you were talking about some kind of football. And I said, oh mate, it's rugby league. And then he again was like, oh, the All Blacks. And I was like, nah, mate. Like,
it's crazy to me that so many Americans know who the All Blacks
are.
Yeah,
incredible.
I mean, they did play that one test against Ireland in Chicago a couple of years ago, right? But that can't be it.
Do they love Sonny Bill Williams? Maybe we should get more on that. But yeah, like they, so, you know, and then eventually I said, oh, like, you know, here's some highlights. And I showed him highlights from last year's grand final. And he was like, oh, you know, and they just roll it back. And I was like, yeah, he's like, and he was like, so what's rugby? Like, isn't that like rugby? And I was like, nah, like rugby, mate. They sort of all, I'm like, I'll be honest, mate, I don't actually properly understand rugby, but they all dive in. The balls, that's right. I said, oh, can they intercept the ball as they're rolling it back to the teammate? And I said, no, you can't strike at the ball while they're playing the ball back. But I said, in rugby, you kind of can. And that's probably the main difference. But I said, it makes for a much messier and confusing game because you just have blokes piling into the ruck, whereas in our game, you don't. And that's probably makes it simpler for people to watch.
I'm not here to speak for the rest of the world, but I am certain that if you exposed Americans to rugby league to the same extent that rugby union is exposed to them, they would prefer it just because it's similar to their sport.
I think so. So I think, you know, the key is, I've said this to a few people this week, and this, you know, I had a lot of conversations with people involved in rugby league over here in the past fortnight. The key, and what they say to me, is the key is not so much what happens on Saturday night. Like, it seems like we're tracking for a great crowd. It genuinely is a great vibe around the place. I remember there's a stack of Aussies in, but the key is not what happens on Saturday night. If we get 40,000 plus to this game, great. But, you know, if they can't make it accessible for people in this country for the next 12 months and we expect that to be a success off the back of one doubleheader and don't come back again until next year, nothing's going to be achieved. They have to find a way to make, to allow the fans here, any new fans they get, to connect with the sport in the in-between time. So, again, going back to Drew, he was suggesting that we make, that the NRL makes Watch NRL free, the Watch NRL app free. And yep. I know that's, you know, a head office, they talk about the money they can make out of getting a market through that. But, and obviously, Fox Sports has rights here. My understanding is they have one game a week and it's not the same time slot. It's kind of hard to work out when it is. So, if you could make Watch NRL free and you gave people a chance to watch our sport for free, because they're not going to pay $165 to sign up for a sport they don't watch.
No, of course not.
Then maybe you can get the connection. Then also there's, you know, teams on the ground. There's all kinds of things.
Well, that's the biggest... Yeah. That, to me, was the biggest catalyst for the NFL's growth in Australia. Like, I was already a fan at this point, but I feel like it really exploded when NFL Red Zone was, well, not free, but on ESPN.
Yeah, yeah. Like, mate, I'll be honest, and I'm different, I know, to a lot of listeners. Like, I'm not an American sports guy. Like, I'll watch the NFL, it's on the background, I'll watch the NBA, but I'm not a guy who has a team. Like, but...
Until the US Cricket League gets off the ground properly.
Maybe, probably not, but maybe. But like, if I, you know, if it's on the background, I'll watch it. But there's no way in the world I'm forking out $165 a year to watch the NFL or the NBA via an app. And if you think about my knowledge of the NFL or NBA, that would still be probably superior to 99% of Americans' knowledge of the NRL.
Correct.
So if I'm not forking that out for an app, and I literally am a rugby league, a sports journalist, then what chance does the NRL have of getting Americans to fork out $165 for rugby league?
Yeah, it's interesting. I, more and more as the week progresses, and we'll talk about the vibe more so in a second, but more and more as the week progresses, I kind of feel like the way forward with this exercise to be a success isn't necessarily winning Americans over, it's just making sure that thousands of Aussies come every year when they do it, which perhaps isn't what the NRL envisioned when they floated this in the first place. But, I mean, mate, I've seen... A lot of people have flown in. I don't know. We don't have an exact number yet. We'll probably get one after the game on the weekend. But depending on what stories you read, it's between like 5 and 15,000. Yeah, like that is a huge number of people coming over to watch the games.
And I hear a couple of thousand from the UK as well. I think someone said to me this morning about 3,000 from the UK.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So, and that's certainly anecdotally what I'm hearing as well. But I agree to an extent. Like Magic Round is a success, right? Because everyone goes up to Brisbane. Correct. And it's great. But with the financial outlay that is this event, and the whole purpose of coming here, I mean, let's not beat around the bush. The whole purpose of coming here is to make money for the game eventually.
Yes.
You know, we can talk about doing the right thing and growing the game, but ultimately, it's to put more money into the NRL's coffers, which then can put more money to club, funding and player salaries go up and yada, yada, yada. That's the whole exercise. And if they can't get TV audiences here, and we're only talking about very, very, very small percents of the market, but if they can't get people to watch here and they can't find a way to get people interested in the sport here, then I don't know that it... I mean, it'll still be a great event and maybe the event continues for a long time, but I don't know that it actually achieves much for the NRL.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not talking about... I mean, Peter Vallandi said if we could get 1% of the population, I don't think... I think
1% is wildly ambitious.
I think we're talking 0.1%.
0.1%
but even
would
that
amazing.
Would be a tremendous...
Yeah, I agree.
And that would result in some kind of, you know, financial windfall back.
I mean, yeah, like I did enjoy a trail last night saying, oh, we'll have 40,000 people in, hopefully millions watching. And I thought, well, you're going to get the former, but the latter seems...
Oh, they'll get...
Ambitious.
Millions,
oh, they'll be the ones
it
back
just
home.
Won't be here. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's true, actually. Yeah, it's fascinating to me, this whole project. Like, it really... I know it's a thing that's been floated around NRL HQ for years and years, but we never really expected it to happen. And now we're here. And so part of me is curious to see what happens next year when they do it again. Because in addition to seeing plenty of people in South Roosters, Manly and Brisbane gear... I've seen a lot of Para, Penrith, people with like podcast or Instagram like account merchandise, like people from all over the rugby league spectrum, like Super League, all international teams, all that stuff. And so they're kind of here as a pilgrimage as well. And I know that we've got some friends back home who wanted to come because it was like, oh shit, the NRL's in Vegas. Mm. So I just wonder how many of those people would be willing to do it again next year.
I don't know the numbers on this, but I'd love to know what the... And this is on a much smaller scale, but what the numbers were like for travelling fans for Magic Round in 2019?
Well, that's the only one I didn't go to. So anecdotally, I can say that it was a lot smaller.
And obviously 2020 didn't happen because of COVID.
Yep.
But from 2019 to the send-off of on in 2021, I'd like to know if the travelling numbers increased or they decreased. I don't know. And yes...
Just from people I know and fans of this show and people that... I think it's gotten bigger every year.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not got bigger in 22 and 23, but it certainly sustained the level it was at in 2021, which I think was significantly higher than 2019.
That's my understanding as well, but I don't know. But then I know this costs a lot more money and it's probably hard. The difference, I guess, with Magic Round is it's easy to go, I'm going to go up there every year, whereas I don't know that you can justify
going
it.
To Brisbane for a weekend is a relatively easy commitment.
Yeah,
whereas coming halfway around the world to also... Important to note, bar one team, everyone plays at Magic Round.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter who you go for. You're seeing your team unless you are a... Is it Dragons this year?
Yeah, Dragons.
So unless you're a Dragons fan, you're seeing your team this year if you go to Magic Round.
Yeah.
You've only got like a 25% chance of seeing your team here, which is, I think, is the other part. So...
I think it's more 2026 that will be the interesting one. Because people, I think, will see this event and go, that's awesome. Like, that was cool. And they'll see...
Yeah.
Like, they'll know of people who went and said it was great.
And you'd imagine they pick four different teams next year.
I think we'll definitely won't be the same four teams. I wouldn't be surprised if potentially one or two return. Seems up in the air, but you know, the Broncos brand or Russell Crowe brand.
Bruce, that's true.
Like, I don't know if maybe those two become, I don't know. That's probably, there's people who might know the answer to this question. There's people who might not. Sorry. But I think like next year people will be like, oh, that looked awesome. Maybe I'll go to that. But it's in 2 years' time
that's
when
really
you've kind
point.
Of almost exhausted your market of people who might go. So that's probably where it becomes more of a challenge.
Because I do know some people that were like, oh, I'd come if my team were playing.
Yeah.
So you'll get that residual effect next year. But you're right. With every year that passes, that chance of that new team obviously decreases a little bit.
And
the magic wears off.
And yeah, the magic wears off. The people who would just go because they're in neutral have worn off. And... You know, let's be honest, there's also a lot of NRL games where we get 7,000 people there. So, you know, again, I'm not trying to put it down. I think this is going to be an incredible event. And
but obviously, the flip side is it becomes a yearly pilgrimage in the way that other foreign sporting events are. In the way that, obviously, it will never be the scale, but in the way that things like Wimbledon or the Ashes and all that stuff are, it just becomes a thing that people go, oh, Vegas NRL, that'll be fun. And it will be fun if you go. Like, if you come to this as a punter, you're going to have a good time. There's so much stuff to do. Vegas is such a thriving place. And you know you're going to go watch two games of footy at a world-class stadium. A stadium that's better than any NRL stadium.
Maddie, I had no idea what it is. I had no idea what to expect coming here. I've never been to Vegas before. Mm. I've only been to Hawaii, so I haven't been to the US.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
So I had no idea what to expect coming here. And I had no idea what to expect in terms of, how the NRL was going to be received and the vibe around the place. This is far beyond what I expected. I was a little skeptical coming here. I'm not a gambler, so like Vegas isn't my thing, but I think it's great. And to the point where like I actually am surprised by how much stuff there is for all ages. But anyway, besides that, I think there is a far better vibe around rugby league here than I thought there'd be. And I actually now think this, on some levels, will be a success. Whereas, you know, not necessarily a success in the 1% of the population success, but I think there is going to be a success out of this. Whereas if you'd asked me 4 days ago, I would have gone, oh, maybe, you know.
Well, the thing is, like, last night, this morning, my wife and I went to the outlets. Like, everywhere I've gone, I've seen rugby league here. Everywhere I've gone, like every bar I've walked past, every time I've been out in the street walking from one place to another so far across the 2 days, I've seen people in rugby league gear, which I think bodes extremely well for the weekend. I know there's still thousands more to come. I know that a lot of people aren't even here yet, so it's only, what, Thursday morning our time as we're recording this. So it does, I think you're right, it does seem like it's trending in a positive direction.
And dare I say, I know there were a few laughs during the week when Jason Saab said they've brought the best four teams here, which, I mean, to be fair, Jason Saab can't exactly go on, you know, TV here and go, oh yeah, we brought, you know, a team that made last year's grand final, a team that underachieved, another team that, you know, let's be honest, had the greatest capitulation in history. Sorry, Matty. And the Manly side who just didn't perform at all. But what I will say is, like, I think they are actually four of the more exciting teams to watch. Like, Souths and Manly missed the eight last year, but they are two very enjoyable teams to watch. Yep. The Broncos and Roosters, obviously Broncos were probably the best team to watch in the NRL last year. And the Roosters, with what they've got out wide and Teddy and whatnot, they are, yeah, again, equally good to watch. Maybe there are more entertaining teams, but we haven't exactly brought over teams that thrive on.
And I think it's
results.
Important to note that each of those teams has a guy that Americans could gravitate towards. But all the fullbacks.
That was the point I was making yesterday. Yeah. They've literally brought over, if not the four best fullbacks in the NRL, because I guess a fullback did win the Dally M last year, but probably four of the best five. Pappenhausen might have something to say about that. But
Dylan Edwards. The Penrith fans are going to come for you, Scotty. It's over.
Well, I mean, I love Dylan Edwards, but he's not exactly the same excitement machine that these four are.
That's true. You know what I mean? Oh, mate, the Americans will be pouring in to watch his workmanlike approach to the game.
Dylan Edwards.
I love Dylan Edwards. He's awesome, but like, his game doesn't necessarily translate to Americans being
encapsulated
by him.
Or Nathan Cleary would work over here, but Dylan Edwards is not that guy, right? But yeah, I think they've brought... And if we're being honest, what is... And I don't know that they planned it this way, but if we're being honest and we're talking really simple about rugby league, what players produce the most exciting plays? You'd probably argue it's a fullback, right? Like,
yep.
Or wingers, I guess. But like, if you don't know the sport.
Correct.
Right? So, and they've brought arguably the four best fullbacks in the NRL here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they planned that. They probably didn't, but it's actually worked out quite well.
Yeah, and four guys who can make highlight reel plays anytime they get the ball. So I think that part of it's worked out super well for them. Is there anyone in particular that you think, besides those four fullbacks that we just talked about, anyone that could really, you know, bring some Americans in with the way they play this weekend?
I think it's more like guys like a Payne Haas or a Taniela Paseka, or, and I'm just running off my head through these packs, like a Spencer Lenu,
Sean Kepi.
No, not Sean Kepi. Sorry. But no, like a Keon Kolomatung. These guys who run at pace and hit the line hard, like, I don't know why. When you said Sean Kepi, I was
just leaned into it. Yep, yep.
And I was like, hang on, no, not Sean Kepi. But like these guys who like, you know, and I know obviously there are similar skill sets in the NFL, but I think they're the kind of guys that could also make a bit of an impact on the American. Like if Spencer Lenu just like
bulldozes,
puts
someone,
a bloke on his ass, charges through him. Like I think that is the kind of thing that could be a highlights reel play.
Absolutely right. I agree.
So yeah, maybe something like that. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think definitely some of those bullocking forwards for sure. I think a guy like Damien Cook as well, if he breaks into some space, they'll be, I think, more than capable of you know, creating a play as he's done so many times over the last few years.
Over under on we don't have an American call team, do we? I don't think there's something that's going. I meant to look at this morning. I didn't get around to it, but I don't think there's anything that's going to the States. I think they'll just get the Fox Sports coverage.
Yep.
Right. So over under, how many times it is mentioned in the call as they try and pitch this game to Americans? Damien Cook, who of course is a beach sprinter.
Yeah, that's true.
All the things that are old and new again this week.
Yeah, dude, I was standing next to you at the launch thing yesterday, and yeah, it was very funny hearing those players get introduced and the sort of pandering to Americans. And he's the dummy half. He masters that area of the field, which is like the line of scrimmage.
He's a dynamic hooker, I think. The thing,
like he explained every other like part of our rugby league parlance that wouldn't make sense to Americans. But then he just breezed straight through hooker. He was like explaining meticulously all the other stuff, like the number of tackles, the dummy half being the line of scrimmage, all this stuff. And then he was also, and he's a dynamic hooker, and then just kept talking. I was like, mate, you sure you don't want to? No? All right. Oh, cool. Yep. Good. Great. Yep. Don't explain that one. It was fine.
So good.
Maybe that'll get the Americans in. Just tell them, maybe that was it. There's hookers running around the field in Las Vegas. Yeah, that'll get them on
top. That's a selling point.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Guys are just a little bit different from what they see.
I think so. Yeah, so I'm super excited, mate. What do you think we're going to get from these two games? We'll start with our teams, Buttonheads, first of all. I do feel like we should have put the helmets on yesterday and ran at each other.
Jeez, the helmets are great.
Mate, I'm Bungard's however many I can get into my highest crew by Sunday.
Yeah.
Wish Campo was here. Bungard's two, undefeated. We stole it. We never forget. But
so what number are we up to now?
5 or 6. Right. Okay. Yeah, we're getting a crew together.
Yep.
You're a part of it.
Yeah, okay. So I'm in on the helmet. Okay,
yeah,
yep. Gotcha.
Yeah, so but anyway, if people haven't seen photos that people took at the launch, they've stylized 4 gridiron helmets in each of the 4 teams' cards, which is interesting, Scott, because the first thing you said to me when I saw you was...
No pads, no helmets, except right here in the marketing.
The whole thing was no pads, no helmets. That's been like the most tiresome selling point for this sport for years and years and years. Oh, they don't wear pads, they don't wear helmets. The first rugby league related thing I see when I land is helmets.
I mean, it looked awesome.
It looked great. They looked cool as hell.
And can I also just say, you know, we talk about like trying to market the game here.
Yeah.
Why is the idea, hey, let's take a shit on your favorite sport and tell you why we're better?
I've never understood that tactic, hey. We're basically trying to neg a country of 300 million people.
Like, they love their sport. Don't tell them it's shit. Don't tell them it's soft.
Just say, if you like the NFL, you'll like this sport. It's kind of like it.
Yeah.
But not really.
Like, I don't know what the marketing approach should be.
I'm not a marketing expert.
And they've seemed to have done well, so it's hard to be critical. Yeah. But...
I've never liked that. I think that they now, like, I realized stuff with Rob Gronkowski last week. I don't know if you saw it, just reacting to plays.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, of course, people are like, oh, he's calling it rugby. It's like, man, who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
You're one of the greatest NFL players of all time and probably one of the most viral in terms of, like,
and it doesn't
online
matter
presence.
How fake it seemed to us, as long as it's sold to people who aren't.
I believe that Gronk, a man who once reportedly missed a free throw in a basketball game on purpose so that his team's score would stay at 69. I believe that he was genuinely amused by what he saw.
He may have been amused, but I think he'd seen it 4 times before he watched it.
That's probably true.
I think that might be the case. Anyway, where were we? The helmets. No, where were we?
Well, we were going to talk about the game, but then we got distracted by the helmets. But yeah, South Manly, an interesting game to start the season. They played that very tense affair last year, a couple of days after John Sattler passed, with, of course, Lachlan Ilias kicking that field goal in extra time in a game.
Josh Alloway, knock on.
Yeah, I thought Manly were probably the better team that night. That is a world away from now. That's almost 12 full months ago now.
Yeah, yeah.
But how are you feeling?
I really don't know what to expect on Saturday night. Like, these two teams are so hard to read in some ways, right? Like, I've got both these teams in my top eight, based on the fact we know what South can do if you cut out the second half of last year, and based on my dear desire for Tom Trbojevic to play a full season.
That's the thing. That's the biggest question mark. But he's playing this weekend.
He's playing so that's what I mean. It's hard to actually... I think you could almost, in some ways... Like, you say we're worlds away from round 3 last year, but are we? Like, I think that's actually a better form guide than what we saw in the last few months of last season.
Well, I would hope so.
I would hope so. I think we both hope that's the case.
It's funny on Turbo though. Like, I didn't want to ask him this yesterday because I thought it was slack. But in my head, I was thinking, like, what comical way can he hurt himself in this stadium that's slightly smaller than he's used to?
I won't go.
Like, he topples over the advertising hoardings or something like that. Like, I don't know.
I mean,
when they forced him to put the helmet on yesterday, I thought there's a world where he just gets his helmet stuck on his head and strains like a neck ligament trying to pull it off.
I did think there was a magician there yesterday, and I did think if this guy's a magician, can we just get him, like, forget the money he's spent on Bill Knowles.
Love Tom Trbojevic. He wasn't giving the magician a whole lot as the recipient of the magic trick.
So I think, you know, one thing that's been really underplayed, and I know you guys spoke about it a little bit, but the size of the field, and it feels like the last few days a bit more talk about it, but I think if there's two teams, it actually weirdly matches up well, because I think Manly and South are equally impacted by it. South obviously use their edges really well and score the most tries out wide of any team in the NRL. Manly thrive on getting Tom Trbojevic into space. There's going to be less space for him. So I think these two teams are impacted in different ways, but equally impacted. And then, like, the Broncos and Roosters, I think it they're both sides that have great forward packs. So it probably
I'm so keen out. For that. We'll get to that game in a minute, but that's why I'm particularly keen for that, because I think it's going to force those two teams to just bash into each other for 80 minutes. Which so I'm
be,
very keen
I
for
I think
it.
That's going to be good. But back to Manly South.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably... I think... Manly are outsiders, aren't they? And I think that's. I think it's more of a toss of the coin job than anything else. I'm going to say Manly for, you know, I'll show some kind of bias there, but I do genuinely believe that it's much more of a toss of the coin job than at least what the bookies have made out. Especially, I'm interested in what Luke Brooks can do. He did have a niggling injury yesterday, didn't train with the main group, but he insists he's fine and good to go. And he just seems so much more relaxed than he did at any time, you know, during the Tigers. Actually, the famous night at Leichhardt last year, where, what was it, 62-6?
Oh, yeah. No, I think they scored more. I think Cowboys scored like 18 in the
end. Oh, it might have been, yeah, right. I remember talking
to Stavitar, the greatest centre of all time.
Yes, exactly.
I remember South Sydney are -125 on DraftKings. Their betting odds, this could be a whole podcast on how fucked their betting odds are. They make no sense. I think that means South's like $1.70 and Manly are like $2.
Yeah, that sounds about right from what I'd heard earlier in the week. But I was thinking this morning, like, I remember talking to Luke Brooks at Leichhardt that night in the sheds, and what should have been the best day of his career was his 200th game. They win by 50 at Leichhardt, packed house, everyone's, you know, chanting Brooksy at the end of the game. And in the sheds after that game, and it was like, it was the first time I knew for certain he was leaving, because I remember asking him, oh, mate, how soon do you reckon a deal can get done? If they want to keep you, you're staying here. And he was just like, nah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. And he was so tense and, you know, the weight of the world on his shoulders, even in that situation. You compare him to what he's been like the last month or so talking to him at Manly. I know it's pre-season. I know people are less stressed in February than they are in June or May. Mm. But he just seems such a more relaxed guy. And I think the way he's going to be on the field will be similar to that, obviously, with a, you know, genuine half outside him.
It's fascinating him, to see what's happened. It's definitely the best halves player he's ever played with.
Oh, by far.
Yeah, and that's no disrespect to Mitchell Moses, but I think Mitchell Moses definitely became a whole new man after he left the Tigers himself. So
Yeah,
it's definitely exciting to see what happens in that regard. Souths, to me, are so strange. I will never get over what happened at the end of last year. It will never make sense to me what the hell happened when they played Penrith twice, Melbourne twice, Brisbane, a couple other good teams at the start of the year, smoked them all. Well, apart from... we lost one each to Melbourne, but we beat them the second time we played each. So we were in really good form in those... And then it just... Yeah, I'll never understand what happened, mate. I'll never, ever, ever understand as long as I live.
I'll tell you something funny, right? So, like, I was away for 2.5 months last year, so I missed a big portion of the season. I left the country.
Mm-hmm.
So the last game of NRL I did before... Or last weekend of NRL I did before I left the country was... South played Para and got beat at
Moore Park. Yeah, that was round 12 or something at Moore Park.
At Moore Park, Indigenous round, right?
So it was a weird result, but they were still...
But it was kind of like, I was just like, oh, whatever. And then, like, I watched footy over there and, like, around work, and I saw bits and pieces of it, but, like, not enough that I was paying proper attention to what it meant, if you know what I mean. Like, I've watched footy as a fan instead of...
Of course,
in our role. So, and, like, obviously, I watched Manly games every week, and it was kind of like, if I was getting ready and it was the time the footy was on, I'd have it on in the background, or I'd check a score, or if I went for a run, I'd put it on the radio, but I wasn't, you know, into it.
Running with the footy on the radio, that is hardcore. That's some Nick Campton shit. I like that.
It's the way to go. It's the way to go.
I can't do podcasts when I run. I need, like, heavy music.
I prefer music, but I was...
I respect
it. I need my footy.
I respect it. Sorry, anyway.
So, like, I knew... Like, it was funny. Myself and Sam Jordan from Channel 9, one day we're talking, and I was like, what's going on? Like, have South lost again? And he's like, yeah, I think they're down to, like, seventh. And I was like, nah, that's, like... That absolutely cannot be the case. Like, they were winning the comp. And I'm like, actually, they did lose. Like, oh, they lost, like... Holy shit, what the fuck? What's happened to South? Mm. And so, I don't know what happened, but it was the most bizarre collapse. And I know you feel that more than anyone.
No, but it's just... I think the stakes are quite high for South this weekend and in the first few weeks of the season, because you need to put that stink away. You've got to get it out of here. You've got to start this season strong enough that people kind of forget. I mean, people won't forget until the finals, but if they go on and if they don't turn up on Saturday and they put in another limp performance, then the same concerns that lingered for months in the offseason are going to continue.
Who have they got round two? They've got Roosters.
It's Roosters round three, I think.
They must have Brisbane next in round two, because the first two rounds, the Vegas teams cross over.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Brisbane round two at Suncorp, and then Roosters round three. So
there's a world where, and I don't want to say it's too late, but there is a world where there's zero on three.
And then Bulldogs Good Friday, never easy. So, yeah.
I mean,
mate,
yeah.
Good Friday, never is.
I'm not saying Souths are going to lose their first three because I think they're every chance of winning on Saturday night, and I think they're every chance of beating the Roosters or Brisbane.
They have a chance of beating anyone if they play well.
Absolutely,
which is the whole problem. Right?
They could be 3-0, they could be 0-3.
So, what do I want to see? I just want to see a team. We asked Damon Cooper yesterday, right? And he was talking about how the effort levels were still there, and they didn't really know what happened. I just want to see a team that rips in and tries stuff and doesn't just go through the motions.
Yeah,
and I think we will get that. I think that. Looking at Latrell yesterday, he is primed for a big game. I think he really wants to put on the show in Las Vegas. Mm. I think that he's been captivated by the bright lights, and I hope that translates across to when he gets on the field in a couple of days. And I just think that with everything that happened last year, they need to come out and really put on a show in this first game and really make a statement that things are different. And if not, yeah, then it's an entirely different conversation.
Yeah.
But I think Souths match up favourably. I think the narrow field, I agree with your points regarding both of the teams, but I do think that if this does get into a battle in the middle of the field, I do think Souths just have a little bit more quality than Manly do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hope to see everything they're doing with the forward pack and moving guys around. I hope to see that it all pays dividends. Keon on the left now, it's a new thing. He looked really good in the Charity Shield.
So we're going to get Keon v. Hamole.
Mm.
That's going to be good. That is something that could light up.
That could get the Americans on board for sure. So that'll be fine on that side. And
this was the game. Remember last year at Accor where they randomly started him in the middle?
Yeah.
And it was a bizarre tactic. And then Hamole played Olukawati, had a really good game on Manly's
Scored
Friday.
A try, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He had a really good start of the year. He scored a try.
Mate,
on
he
that
was
Friday.
Back row of the year for the first half of the year.
Yeah, and then again, I don't know what happened because I missed it. But yeah, something obviously went wrong. But like I think they shifted Keon back out to the edge late in the game, and he might have even had an impact out there from memory. I can't remember. Yeah. But point is, that was a weird move. But yeah, he v. Hamole Olukawatu tomorrow night Saturday night will be something.
Really looking forward to that. And I do think that if South's problems are sort of in the centres and with that other back row spot, which I think is fair, I think that's probably their biggest problem right now because there's no Jack White and there's no Campbell Graham. I think that is nullified a little bit by the field being a little bit tighter. And I would hope that all of that leads to a South Sydney win. I think it will. But I think it'll be a close game. I think that Manly never roll over against Souths, no matter how they're going. So I think this should be a really fun game.
The one positive for Manly is, we talked about Tom earlier, I don't recall Tom having, maybe with the exception of the 2021 semi-final or prelim final, week one and week three of the 2021 finals, but that was because Manly's forward pack just had nothing compared to the South forward pack and the Melbourne forward pack. I don't recall Tom Trbojevic having quiet games in big games. Like, you look at him in Origin, that's usually when he plays his best football. This is going to be as big as it gets for Tom Trbojevic so far in his career, with the exception of Origin. Maybe on par. Not on par for Origin, but you know what I'm saying, as far as occasion goes.
I hope we don't see a Jackson Paulo moonwalk in this game like we did in that prelim.
I hope we do this time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, he terrorised South last year in his revenge game for the Roosters. So double revenge game coming up. Paulo v. Kepi. The stakes have never been higher.
What? You know what? Why haven't they just put them on the billboards?
Hey, I don't know. Great question. And the second game, Brisbane Roosters. I am so keen for this. The Roosters, for like the fourth year in a row, are getting all the preseason hype. I'm falling for it this time.
Somewhere.
I am. I don't think they can afford to have another slow start like they have in the couple of past years. And I don't think that they can afford to have another season where they're not right back up there challenging for a premiership. And I think that Brisbane, in the same boat, need to just pick up where they left off. They had such a fantastic year last year. It didn't work out well for them in the last 20 minutes of the grand final. But up until that point, they played great football in that grand final. And I think they'll be really hungry for this one.
I think you can't say now or never because the Roosters have won two premierships with this team. But it's the window is closing. They lose the two Joeys at the end of this year. They lose Jared. Luke Hurey's another year old. I know he's just re-signed for one more year, but you know. I think this is the year they have to win it if they're going to get another one out of this group. So I like the Roosters this year. On paper, they're just an incredible side. And I probably, it's not often you'd say, look at the way that Brisbane finished that season last year, but I actually probably prefer the Roosters on Saturday night against Brisbane. I know this might not be a popular opinion, and I'm not saying for a second that the Pat Carrigan, Adam Reynolds fiasco was a big deal, because it absolutely wasn't a big deal. I mean, it was two blokes having a bit of a wrestle. But I do think that if the Broncos don't start the season well, it will be fair to say, did the hype at the end of last year and the way they were treated like rock stars, did that carry a bit into their off-season, their pre-season, and is that going to be an issue they have? Like, Would the Carrigan Reynolds thing have happened before last season? Maybe it would have. I don't know. Like, I'm not pretending it's a big deal, but you get what I'm saying, right? Like, I'm just not... I'm really interested to see what the mentality of Brisbane is.
I was just boys being boys. I wasn't worried about that at all. They were just mucking around.
But I know what they were, but I guess what I'm saying is, like, they're now getting, like, fan days where they're getting massive crowds. They weren't getting that at the start
That's
last
true.
Year. There's there's essentially a bodyguard on Reece Walsh, right? There's not bodyguard. You get what I'm saying, right? Like,
yeah,
security
yeah.
on Reece Walsh. That wasn't happening at the start last year. I'm not... You know, people probably have a crack at me here and say it's ridiculous. But I just think I can see a world where if they don't start the season well, there will be questions asked about the mentality of them compared to last year. That, you know, hunger is still there.
Yep, I buy that for sure. I think the Roosters will win this one.
Yep.
I think it's going to be a great game, though. I really am just very excited to see both those teams go at it. Full strength? Close to.
No Jared for the Roosters Dom Young. But
yep.
I mean, who knows how that back line's going to look anyway. I think.
Well,
Dom
I mean,
Young,
yeah, it's crazy that, like, they've signed Dom Young in the first place, but it's still a red-hot back line without him. So
Robbo was saying the other week that essentially through the first 10 rounds, he won't have a first-choice back line. He will rotate them almost.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Because maybe not rotate them. Like, I don't think we're going to see a world where James Tedesco misses a game and then...
Sure.
But essentially, they're not going to... He won't have the same guy sitting on the sidelines for the first 10 weeks. So where they land, I still don't know. I don't know where they land, but... Dom Young's injury is sort of saving the question
yeah,
this week.
No worries about that this week. But yeah, all right, that's it. We've got plenty more to do this week. We haven't really talked about the general vibe. Like, what's been your highlight so far in terms of stuff you've seen?
Mate, I tell you what, the lights are a lot brighter and bigger here than in Campbelltown. That's all I know.
Just slightly.
Although
then you'll find some back streets which do have all the charm of Campbelltown.
That is a very good point. Maybe a little bit safer in Campbelltown. But what's been my highlight? Mate, I think just... walking the strip and taking it in.
As you said, you've never been here before.
I've never been here before. And like I say, I'm not a gambler, so like the casinos don't lure me in the same way they might others. But like the Bellagio.
The fountain.
Fountain, that was epic. Yeah. I managed to sneak in a plane tour over the Grand Canyon yesterday morning because there wasn't much on in the morning. Like just stuff like that. I think it's been epic. It's funny, right? Because I did say to Charlie and you last night, I said, mate, I'm surprised like how this can actually be a thing for all ages. And like, actually there's things here that my 4-year-old would like, but
yeah, absolutely.
I was walking down the street and all I could smell was weed, and there was only underwear, very strong
weed smell.
So maybe it's not a place for my 4-year-old.
Yeah, they really do juxtapose that well with like kid friendly stuff and yeah, like semi naked women and the scent of drugs.
Yeah, it makes no sense because I was like, oh, this could work. And then I was like, not that I probably wouldn't bring her here on a holiday anyway, but it was just like, I went to, did the New Yorker roller coaster.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, it's a big arcade. Georgia would love this. And then, like, this morning, I'm like, no, absolutely not. Would not be bringing my 4-year-old here.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. All right, Scott, thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure you'll be back on later. You can find all of Scott's work on AAP, wherever you consume your AAP content, whether it's on ESPN, for example.
Exactly. You can find it on ESPN.
I read your story on, like, the most neat... Hang on, I'll try and pull it up while you... what other stories have you got coming through the week?
What have I got? So... Actually, I might plug stuff I've had, which is more sort of where the game can go in America. I did a sports feature on that over the weekend and need for free-to-air TV or free streaming. And yeah, there'll be more general rugby league stuff over the next few days.
I read your story on the Augusta Margaret River Mail this morning. Because I knew you, I just typed in like James Tedesco and put in news because I knew you'd written a story on him. I wanted to read it, and that was the link that came up.
So. Yeah, it's well, when you say where will you read AAP, you're reading in places you don't realize you're reading AAP.
Yeah, correct.
That is the best way to describe it.
All right, thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Matt.
And we are back, and we are joined now by Channel 9's Neil Desmond, who is looking a bit worse for wear. Vegas might have got him early.
It nicked me. It nicked me, Matt. It's it hasn't quite got me. We're back. We're firing. But yeah, we didn't miss last night, I think it's safe to say.
Yep. So you've if people are new listeners, Neil is of course a wizard with TV packages. Anytime you watch sort of any of those big intros before a big finals game or anything like that on Channel 9, that's usually Neil's handiwork. And he's here putting together that stuff, a bunch of live crosses and plenty more for Channel 9 back home. How's it been so far work-wise, mate? And what else you got planned?
Mate, it's been good. It's been good. It's good to get the call up once we learn how to talk again for today. It was good to get the call up to come over here. A bit different for what we're doing to talk TV for a sec. We're kind of, it's a big show for Fox and Nine's getting a little bit of it. So, mate, we come out. I only flew in yesterday, Matt. So I came in, stayed awake, and saw a bit of the NRL stuff, caught up with you and the Sandman, Damian Cook, and a few of those boys. And, mate, it's been good. Resorts World is where it's all happening. Bit weird, though. Every team under the same roof. Don't think they're happy, the boys.
Yeah, I thought that was a little bit strange. And they've also seemed to have... Like, I mean, and a lot of the media contingent are in there as well. They seem they've consolidated everybody into one spot, which I guess can be both a blessing and a curse, but yeah.
I think it depends what side of the fence you're on. I think for the media side, it's a cool thing. And like this morning, I was on the blower to a few different people, and while you're there, every journo's there, every player's walking by. So for that, it was good. But I spoke to a few of the Manly boys the other day, and they said it was good until yesterday where everyone turned up and are all over you. But look, I think it's part of the fun. I think it's part of turning up and showing it all off. And mate, I think it's going to be hit this weekend.
Yeah, Scott and I were talking earlier that our pessimism kind of dissipated yesterday when we got here, in the sense that there were far more fans walking the streets than I expected. How shocked have you been so far with the number of like footy jerseys or footy-related outfits you've seen roaming the streets so far?
Mate, it's huge. It doesn't really feel like I'm in Las Vegas. It feels like I'm in the east coast of Australia, because from our flight all the way to the last couple of days, there's Aussies everywhere, there's footy fans everywhere, and they're coming out, and you know what? This is what, year one of five, and it already looks like it's going to be pretty cool. So I think I don't know how pessimistic I was, but I was probably a realist of, hey, you know, good luck to them. But mate, I think it's going to go okay as long as the footy's good. Sometimes maybe that doesn't even matter, but I think it'll be a bit of fun.
Yeah, I think that a lot of it just sort of kind of depends on the next couple of years more so than this one. Like Scott and I discussed this earlier. Like, there won't be a novelty factor next year, and if a couple of the teams are the same, you won't be getting guys who think, oh, this is my one chance to see my team in Las Vegas and all that stuff. So Scott made the point that he thinks it's actually not next year, but the year after, where it's going to be the true test of whether it's going to be working out or not, because you'll get people next year who get FOMO from this one, but by year three, that's gone, and at that point, you need to hope that it can stand on its own merits at that point. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I guess you kind of liken it to Magic Round in a sense, you know, and I think the last couple of years of Magic Round, it's kind of changed. It's not just the boys on the Punters Club trip away. It's really turned into families and footy fans from everywhere coming in. And I think that's what we might get. I think this is early on, a bit of the heads coming out and the boys getting on tour. But we saw some families on the flight over. I think if you then could get just a fraction of, you know, the tourists coming here going, well, hold on, a bit like a sevens tournament that kind of comes around. Okay, yeah, the footy's there every year. I might chip away at that and book Vegas in nice and early. So, man, I reckon it's got potential. I was out at the stadium on the way here.
Yeah.
I've just come from there. And that's an incredible piece of work.
I know, cool. Did you get to go inside?
I was roaming around, on.
How's the grass looking?
Well, the grass is outside. Right, as we speak on this podcast, and this is the timestamp, mate. It's just been lined up. It's looking fresh. And so they'll roll in ahead of the game. So, mate, it's cool. And then I kind of went rogue and wasted time just pottering around. And, mate, just some of the captain's clubs and the sideline bars.
It's a whole other world of decadence.
It's ridiculous. And, you know, obviously we've modelled our new stadiums a little bit on this, but we're not even close to this thing. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I haven't gone inside. I went to the outside to get my media stuff today. Didn't have much time to be there. But I have been to the Los Angeles Rams home stadium. Did watch a game there with Charlie a couple of months ago. And I guess that, along with this one, is like they're like the two like newest, biggest ones, right? So
yeah.
I think I have some idea of what it's going to be like.
Yeah,
and that stadium, I remember just being mind blown when I walked in and thought back to spending every Saturday at ANZ with 12,000 people.
Yeah.
And just thinking, this could not be any more different.
No, and look, you know, I think NRL's copped some flack of, you know, not being able to sell enough tickets or if it's not sold out. Mate, please.
Mate, we're getting close to 40K, apparently.
Yeah, mate. Things are to be even believed. If it's 20K, even if it's 10, these stadiums are unreal. You know, we make Allianz look full when you've got 20 in there.
Well, that's the whole point of the modern architecture, right, is the way they're designed is that they sound loud even if the crowd isn't full.
Yeah, I spoke to a bloke today at the NRL, and he said he saw a UNLV game there, and there was only 10,000. They said it sounded as though it was full.
Well, that bodes well, because there'll definitely be more than that. So as long as...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mate, the atmosphere's good, and... Yeah, the Fox guys, they'll do a great job of covering it and making you feel like you're there. And, you know, with the sound and the atmosphere. So, mate, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to being sidelined on Saturday and getting amongst it. And, yeah, I mean, we've got to hold on tight before then. We've got to make that by then, Bunga. But, look, it's head down, bum up, mate. You know, we're professionals.
Yeah, we've got the fan fest down on Fremont Street later. That'll be a lot of fun. But just on that in general, mate, like, it just feels to me like, as you touched on, it does almost feel a little bit like Magic Round in the sense that every time I've left this room, in the past 2 days, I've seen people wearing any manner of not just the teams that are here, but any rugby league related stuff. It seems like far more people than you or I thought were going to come have come.
Mate, definitely. If that's one message I send back to people back home, and it's like, hey, no lies here. This is big. This is fun, and everyone's turning up. And my big fear was, oh, I don't want to feel like Magic Round. I don't want to come all the way to Vegas and be surrounded by Aussies.
But I love Magic Round.
But I do too. But in that, actually, well, no, I always work Magic Round, so that's I can't true. Have you're to a candle.
Yeah.
I mean, we get away with it though. Come on. We've had
turn it up.
Yeah. But mate, and that was my big fear. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be stuck in a room with, you know, rugby league media types. And but then in the end, mate, you're on this thing together. We had a great little motley crew last night of mainly our work crew and everyone you met. There's Aussie accents around, but who cares? Let's fire up.
Yeah, I completely agree, mate. So in terms of the actual footy itself, how are you feeling about these games? Like South, I think it's fair to say the season didn't end the way they wanted it to last year. How are they going to bounce back?
I think it's always optimistic when you look at South Sydney when they start, right? You know, you got Latrell's always looking pretty fit. You know, if they're all there firing.
He is looking fit.
Yeah.
I saw him yesterday. He's looking fit.
No, he's looking good. I guess, you always think, mate, I always have South in like my top four because I get to see him early on. I run my eyes over. I'm like, there's no reason this team should fall away like they did. But I think they've prepared well. I think JD's got them going. I think they kind of get it. What I love about South boys, you can tell they're all good mates as well. So I think this time away is going to help them. And
once I saw the Top Gun video, I thought, yeah.
There you go.
We're fine. Well, we're everything's
done.
Fine.
We're done. And Maverick was a good sequel. So I don't know if there's anything to that. But yeah, they were pretty good looking. I like it. No, I reckon they're a big chance. But then saying that, Manly's got the same kind of optimism to them, right? If they're full strength and Daly's playing well and Tommy's good, there's no reason why they can't. So I reckon that's a really good start, that one.
It's I'm super intrigued for the second game. I think, especially with the Narra field, those two class forward packs, it's going to be really intriguing to see what they do.
I bumped into Payne Haas and Paddy Carrigan today. Those grabbing coffees, and I think they'll be jealous of They saw how I was feeling, and I think Saturday night might be big for a lot of these players. They're seeing some of the sore heads, and they're just sitting there just chomping at the bit. But I reckon that's even more motivation. Get out there, rip in the middle, and then just fire up.
Because, like, we've in the past, I'm sure I've had this exact conversation with you. I've had it with many people, but, like, ranking the best beers you can have. And the post-win sports beer is right near the top, along with the shower beer, the two kings. And so, like, the post-sports win beer on the strip is like, I mean, that's taking it to another level.
I mean, they rip it in Brizzy. They'd rip in anywhere. But, yeah, and you're here. It's going to be lined up. It's going to be fun. And I think the experience for them, again, I spoke to a few of the boys. Like, they were arriving, well, they were in and around the hotel this morning as I was picking up the pieces. And they mate, they had a good time in LA. They're good. And, again, I reckon they'll be coming out firing. And yeah, they lose Flegler, right? And they lose Herbie, but I think the way Payne and Paddy can carry on with what they did last year, there's no reason why they can't just run over the top. But Roos is on the other hand, like you said, big four packs as well, right?
Spencer Lynn, you're getting there as well, so.
Yeah, Spencer's here. No Jarrett, but, you know, they're still pretty strong. Chook's always hard, you know.
You can't get a read on them. They've got so many good players.
I honestly can't get a read.
And especially early in the season, they always stumble out of the blocks a little bit, so.
And they have the last few years, right? Yeah, the first month or so, they just haven't got it right.
Well, mate, last year they weren't in the finals all year until round 27, so.
Yeah, Drew Hutchison led him to the finals and missed out on playing in the finals. Thank you, Drew. Anyway, he's a dog now. Life's good.
Oh, mate, the only guy he signed is not a utility. And even then, he still kind of can play multiple positions.
Well, he has played multiple positions. Yeah. He just wants to play one. But don't we all?
Don't we all? I asked Scott this as well, but who do you think among these teams could, if anyone is capable of, could sort of make an impact with American audiences seeing them play for the first time?
Reece Walsh is going to light it up. Like, just obviously his good looks and everything, all that. But I look at him and the way he plays and the way he glides across the field and gets that first few steps onto the ball and beats people beforehand, before he's even touched it, he's gone on the outside. I reckon he's one where people are going to go, okay, this kid can move, you know, and he can do some special things. Latrell is obviously one where if he wants to, he can turn the game on his head, and they'll love to see this guy who's, what is he, 6'5", is a big body. He can rip and tear in attack and defense. I think that's what I reckon the American audiences, if they're tuning in, will realize, okay, wait, what? These guys do it on both ends. You know, you're going to see Tony Staggs rushing up, putting on big hits, jamming them in, and then on the other side, you know, fending and stepping off that left. So I reckon that those are one-on-one battles if they get some space. I know it's a narrow field, but they're the type of guys where I reckon the American audiences will go, okay, there's a bit of show in this.
I think that this has all the makings to be a bona fide success from an Australian point of view, in the sense that I think that already so many people here and they've embraced it, and I think that will carry over to at least next year, if not for several years after that. The big question mark still remains how and if at all we're going to get Americans interested in the sport. Do we even really care that much if we get Americans interested in sport? That's what they say that the entire purpose of this exercise is. So we discussed a lot how we already think things are going well just because we've seen so many Aussies here, which is great, and I'm stoked about it. But on the flip side of that, have you had any experiences yet with any Americans that are kind of even aware that this is on? Like, have you experienced that at all? Because I have yet to do so.
If I had a conversation with them last night, I might not remember. That's fair. But no, so far, no. Like, I mean, you know how it is. And to everyone back home, you arrive here and you go to the hotel when the NRL media event was on last night. The Fox had their show on last night. So it is a lot of the brass. It's a lot of the footy fans. It's a lot of the punters. I guess the feeling's only going to be... And Vegas is a hard one because they're not, you know, I guess, worn on sports fans in here. No one's from here, really.
Exactly. It's a very transplant city.
So. Yeah, so it's hard to get a read on that. But I think this is a big step. And again, talking TV and stuff, it's a big showing for Fox Sports. That's why they're putting a big end. Like, the set that was there at Resorts World was the Super Bowl set from last year. You know, so they've got Fox America here doing a big show because it's going prime time. So that's where you're going to get. You're going to get millions watching, even if they're flicking through. So I guess we won't know until the wash-up, until Sunday morning. And you know, you're there, you're mixing with some of the press. There's American journalists here, they're covering it.
There were a few there, that is true.
You know, there is interest, and obviously people doing their jobs, but I reckon it's, unfortunately, it's gonna have to be put on show for people to go, okay, we like this now. And, you know, there is rugby here. You know, there's a lot of people that play rugby, watch rugby at international level. So, you know, if there's anything, you can get some of that market. And I know, you like Americans. You're a bit more into the American sports fans than I am. There's so many of them, and they're willing to find a niche, right? And find something they like and follow. So I think it's definitely potential, mate.
Will you be trying out at the Combine on Saturday morning?
Mate, my work schedule doesn't allow me otherwise.
Otherwise.
You know? The 40-yard dash is something.
What are we doing? Like, what is this combine for?
Well, Freddie's keen on it. He called me the other day. He asked me if we're covering it. I was like, oh, sure.
But
he loves that, being the coach and just looking at what talent's there. Like, you know, they've gone to Fiji and done all that stuff.
Mm.
Mate, there are some supreme athletes on this side of the world. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
So we've always said, okay, mate, like one of the slowest blokes in the NFL would be as quick as our fastest, right? That's just the way they go.
Yeah.
So if you get guys that have the hand eye, have that raw athleticism, and can maybe have a crack, I do think that you're probably too old to get started if you're older than, say, 21, 22.
No, I just missed it. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, no, us again.
Yeah, that's the only thing standing in our way, really.
But, mate, where's the, you know, like the Mark Wahlberg Invincible, where some bloke at 30 just gets a run? Where's that in rugby league?
That's true.
Where's that? Just where's that documentary? Just follow it now. Find it. A couple of blokes with microphones and have a crack. If you had one shot, Matt, to go out there and
one opportunity to seize everything I've ever wanted.
Yeah,
I'd have to capture it. I couldn't let it slip. But yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of stuff going on. It should be a lot of fun. And I think we're about to head off to that fan fest right now. So
we are. We're going to go say hello. Who's out there? What's doing?
I don't know, mate.
We'll find out. In Fremont, so when they do like the little cup trick with a ball in a cup, always pick the far right.
Okay, yeah. You don't think they've rigged it so you don't win? You think you have a
always
chance?
Pick the far right. It's okay, far, the far right.
You heard that. Okay. Either. All right. Thank you, Neil. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Bye.
Okay, and we are back, fresh off the Fremont Street Experience fan extravaganza that they put on down in Old Vegas. And I've got to say that my pessimism has evaporated even further. Their sheer number of rugby league fans down there tonight gave me, you know, it gave me sincere Magic Round vibes. It wasn't just fans of the four clubs. I saw jerseys from every single team, even a Titans fan, if you could believe it. And there was a good 2,000 people down there, at least at the fan event, getting around it, eating up everything that Paul Gallen and Sam Thaiday and whoever else spoke was saying. And yes, as every day passes, we feel better and better about this endeavor. And I've got to say that it was a really good time out there tonight. And I feel like the vibes at the moment couldn't really be much better. So that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. And to everyone in the top two tiers, we will now give a quick shout out. If you'd like to support us, go to patreon.com/NRLBoomRookies. You get access to our Discord server, a third show every week. Merch discounts, entry into the College New Cup, where I will be sending out the round one form probably by the time you listen to this, and plenty more. So thank you to Alex Sergicomi, Chris Avnell, Dave, Michael. No thanks to the crime syndicate that skimmed my car, but thanks to Boom Rookies HQ for not kicking me out of the Discord. Murray, Rocky and Rafi, Stu, Weak Gutted Wayno, Adam Small, Ashley and Martin, Broncos legend Adam Reynolds, Bruce the Pom, Butsy, Carlingford Line Coltrane Zipper, Chewbacca Snuffleupagus, Dan Cullinane, David, an anonymous backer, Ed Burton. Eloping in Vegas with Trell Mitt is the finest thing a person can do. In fact, future Clive Churchill medalist Keelan Colomatangi, I upped my subscription just to hear you read out my name while I was on your show. I was saying Boo Earns, Jason Joe, Joel Wrigley, John, Josh Brandon, Kicks House out of the comp, Lachlan Hancock, Luke Charles Smidmore, Mads, Taylor's Virgin, Matthew Duggan, Matt, the Quokkas were asking for it, Bungard, Mr. Beefy, Morgan Watkins, my name is Nick Campton, rugby is my favourite type of rugby, my ding ding dong is hard and I'm sad, never trendy, Nick Kotrick lives in my street, I'm similarly coaching him to run it straight. Oh, what about that? Send him off, send the dirty get off, get him off the field, that were diabolical. Pasco Biden 2024, Paul Mac 78, Reese Brown, Roxanne Clark, see you in Vegas, Shunter, sometimes even the great Rodrigo Adrado forgets to change his name, T2T, give me the fucking ball. The Black Vegetable, Thor, Tom Hardy, Woz, we're now charged everyone low tiers, and for the listeners, all listeners, please send $5 to @TheMattBungard on twitter.com. And Westlife Podcast, West Tigers are back, baby. Thank you so much for your support. To everyone low tiers and everyone who just listens, thank you as well. We will be back tomorrow with some new guests, a bit of chat after the captain's runs at Allegiant Stadium. Very, very exciting. We're getting close to game day now, and we're getting so, so close, regardless of where you are, to the NRL being back. So I will speak to you tomorrow. Say goodbye, Matthew. Goodbye, Matthew. And it's goodbye from me.